Hi there, Deborah Moorhead here, and welcome to the Happy Relationship Summit 2. In this summit, we are talking about differences between men and women and understanding those differences so that you can create the relationship that you really want. I know relationships are amazing at times, and they can be frustrating, especially when you just don't get the other person. And you want to know what you need to know, and that's why I have created this summit and have chosen this topic, because I think it's something that I can learn from it, and I'm very excited, because today we are getting to hear from Barry Selby. I am so excited. You know, he is known as the love doctor to both his clients and his friends. He has had his own fair share of dysfunctional relationships and failed romance. I guess we all can join that. He has endured a broken heart more than once, and yes, he has broken a few himself. He knew something needed to change, and he became a dedicated student of life, of love, and of people. And along the way, he earned a master's degree in spiritual psychology and also became a professional spiritual counselor. And this birthed his true calling and mission. He is a number one best-selling author, professional speaker, and expert in relationship coach and relationship coach. Let me say that again. He is, which is wonderful and why we have him here, an expert relationship coach and guide. His passion is inspiring people to live authentic lives. In particular, he is dedicated to serving women. He empowers successful single women to embrace and own their feminine power, to heal their hearts and learn to love again, and to attract their true equal in inspired loving relationships. I think that's so beautiful. I love that. So welcome, Barry. I'm so happy that you're here with us. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yes, yes. I always like to start our interviews so that we can just learn a little bit more about you. I mean, we just learned some kind of how you got to here, but I know there's always more to the story. So tell us a little bit, you could be doing other things, right? So tell us kind of what brought you here and why you have dedicated your life to, especially with helping women, but just helping women and even men in their relationships.
Sure. To go back in history.
Yes. See, there's always more.
Yes, there's always more. I'm grateful that I grew up in a family that was very stable. I grew up in England, which requires a lack of emotion, it seems. But with my parents, I mean, they were together till my mother passed away a few years ago, almost 60 years. And so that, especially looking back nowadays, is fairly unusual. Yeah. But the model I was taught as a kid, and I'll get to that later on about the models factor we create, basically showed me that relationships should look easy, perfect, and work all the time, because in my childhood particularly, and certainly in my teen years too, it seemed as though my parents never argued. And my perception and my memory was they always got along and it was always wonderful. So I had this model or this template of what a relationship should be like. And I figured when I go out and start dating in my teens and 20s, I would find someone like that and have it exactly the way I wanted to. It wasn't quite that easy. And being somewhat of the nerd and the outsider growing up in school, I went through my own experience of bullying and other things too. So it meant that basically I wasn't one of the jocks or one of the in crowd. So the girls who were in my year at school would tend to find me as someone they could talk to because they're never attracted to me. I didn't stand out as being the jock or the hero. And so I was the confidant. And I was the one they went to basically to pull the heart out to. I frankly loved it because at least I got female attention. It wasn't what I wanted ideally, but it was something. So I always had that innate safe space for women, even as a kid. And it's become that through my whole life, but I never really looked at it as a calling or a work focus until I went through, or should say after my last breakup, when I realized that I was out of alignment with my own truth and my own relationship choices, which took me on a whole new course about eight, nine years ago. So that's what really birthed my work.
Hmm. That's always amazing to me, just the different paths that bring us to where we are. But that's wonderful. So in some ways, even when you were much younger, you were doing some of this and not even aware that you were doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Well, thank you for sharing. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the questions then. My first one for you is, in your experience as you've been doing this, how have you seen the differences between men and women play out and sometimes kind of get in the way of creating a great relationship?
Probably the biggest mistake or the biggest challenge that we face is we forget that we're not the same. To put it simply, the men and women function differently, act differently, think differently, and we tend to paint the other gender with the same brush, and it's not going to work. So the biggest mistake, if you can call it that, or the biggest challenge is realizing that we are different, and so it's important to recognize and appreciate that difference versus saying, you're not what I wanted because you're not like me, sort of thing. And I mean in the sense of, for example, like certain examples for men, when we are in our true maleness, the masculinity, as I call it, we are very good at single focus, getting things done, completion, getting results. That's what I think is we achieve goals, that's why we're good in business.
Mm-hmm.
When women are doing the same thing, which is what they do in business, that's when the friction happens because there's the two masculine energies banging heads. But the truth is, when a woman's in her feminine energy, she's in a place which is about enjoying the journey and smelling the roses and experiencing life in fullness. So, for example, when a woman is upset and has feelings of hurt or discomfort, the man's instinctual response is to fix it. He wants to make her feel better because that's the thing his heart wants to do. However, by cutting her off from her feeling of emotions and trying to solve the problem, he's actually not serving her. And she will get upset even more, even not even realizing why, because he's not letting her express what's upsetting her. Because truth is, for a woman, when she's voicing her upset, she needs the space to finish up releasing it fully, which is why she finds her sisters so comfortable. So that's one of those traps we fall into.
Yes, that's a great example, and it makes so much sense. And I think when we forget that, I mean, I'll speak from a woman's perspective. You know, when we forget that, I just want to talk and kind of vent and talk, and I just think that, you know, he should just, you know, just go along with that.
Exactly, which most men aren't trained in. They think, oh, there's a problem here. Let me fix it.
Yes, so appreciating, you know, recognizing the differences and appreciating, I really like that. That's a great, great reminder. Wonderful. All right, then I really want, and you just started doing this, but I know you're going to have so much for us. So I would love to learn kind of what do you see as two or three of the differences that it's really important that men should keep in mind about women that help them?
A few other differences. The best thing to recognize is that we have different ways of being, doing things. So what we say is different and what we think is different. So again, a man who really understands women would know that when she says she'll be there at a certain time, that's not usually accurate. Because a woman's reference to time is different from a man's reference to time because that's the way we think. Again, men being goal-focused, we say, that's the time I'm going to be there, I'll be there by that time. And it's kind of a focus we carry naturally. But for women, there's so much that happens in life that is inclusive because women's innate strength is, as one of my teachers calls it, diffuse awareness, the ability to see many things at once. We men generally are linear, sequential, or myopic focus. We're good at looking at one thing, focusing on it to complete. That's the thing that makes us so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman is in that place of catching things, so many things can pull on her and catch her attention that, for example, keeping an agreement on a time may slip into the background noise of everything else that's going on, and she doesn't turn up when she says. And that's one of the things that men tend to get out of whack with. So when we learn that, we can either make adjustments, knowing that we should set the time ahead of that so that she can, in fact, be there the time we do want her there, or just be really flexible and understand that what's going on is real. So that's one of the differences.
Okay.
In other ways, let's just expand one of the other options on that. For one, another thing that with women and men are different, and this is true, and I love this one because this is the era of color and fashion. Another reason why men and women are so fun to watch in the differences is that men have basically one or two pairs of black shoes, one or two pairs of brown shoes, and one or two pairs of sneakers. Women have one or 200 pairs of shoes. I mean, it's the sense of subtlety. Let's put it this way. Women have a sensitivity that enjoys the subtlety of variation. So if a man has a blue shirt, he may have a light blue shirt and a dark blue shirt. But a woman may have seven different blue blouses that vary in color because it has these different qualities of blue, from sky blue to duck egg blue to something else, because the variances are so noticeable, and it changes their feelings. And because women are much more feeling than men are generally, to how they feel, and it's not the emotional, it's the sensitivity to feeling that women appreciate so much more, that even when they put on earrings in the morning, mood will be altered by how heavy those earrings are in their ears because of the sensitivity in their beingness. Mm-hmm. A man generally has no appreciation or understanding of that because we don't feel like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge difference between men and women.
Okay. I never really thought about that, but I can see there's. I mean, I certainly know that, you know, men have more limited in their different choices, but I didn't really make that connection to that, the subtlety of variations and this, that sensitivity to that.
These are general rules, not everybody, because
right, no, of course,
scale, you know, men and women, their differences. Just to be clear.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, everything is just these are general, but they're ways to just think about it and to just check to see if it's in there. So yeah, that makes sense. All right, great. All right. Now you're kind of sharing both for the differences between men and women. Is there anything that you want to make sure that women kind of keep in mind about men?
Oh, so many things I could say. this is one for both sides as well, but I'll say from this point of view.
Sure. Yeah.
One thing I'll say for this for sure is for women, if they would simply let their man lead the way, that would be huge. One, to boost his confidence, and two, to allow you to let go of the reins and let him lead, which is really what the masculine-feminine dance is. It's the sense of women have been educated and raised, particularly in the Western culture, to be in the business world and compete and kind of have this equality with men, which is still being sorted out with the wage and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Below that, though, is a sense of also in romantic relationships, the equality does not mean sameness. So for women to allow their men to have the reins of the relationship, not to do everything, but to take charge, to make decisions, and for the men, be aware of that. My mistake in the past many times was to basically say, honey, whatever you want, I would do sort of thing, which would be very pleasing, but it wasn't very masculine. And so the subtlety difference is that he would take charge with her consent to go different places, and if she lets him take the reins, trust him to do the right thing, and if he makes mistakes, give him loving feedback so he can course correct.
I think that's a beautiful, wonderful. I think that's a beautiful, just a reminder of just those differences and that dance. And I do think you're right. In the Western world, where like women are, you know, think that they have to be out there and be doing all that, and yet when you go into your personal and romantic relationships, just to keep that difference is important.
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, did you have another one?
What the women can do. Well, here's one of the things also. I'm seeing this more and more, which I love, and I'm appreciating supporting this around the women I know, both as clients and friends. Is that women also could remember that their sisters are their confidants as well, that the women friends are who they can go to really share with. And for some men, they can't bear it. In the sense that really for women to recharge, it's good for them to be around their sisters, to go and be supported and nurtured and have the loving space and allow them to basically vent, release, all that sort of stuff. For the men to renew and to restore is to go out and play football with the guys or go watch sports or go hunting or something like that. It's a different recharge system. And for women, remembering and enjoying the fact that we're different works both ways. So for women to realize for the men, they need a different way to restore themselves and to be present. In the micro version of this, when a man comes home from work, if you're living together, do him a favor and give him the first 20 minutes to half an hour of silence. So you're not already asking him questions and finding what's going on. Because for women, to release the day for them, it's talking, expressing, and doing things that nurture their femininity. For men to release the day, it's allowing just to dump out the energy of doing nothing. So for men going home, watching the TV for half an hour with a beer in his hand is actually one of the best restorative things he can do to restore his masculinity because he's back in his truth again.
Okay. I like that because I think that's such a reminder because, yeah, I mean, women, I mean, you know, even if they're both coming home from work at the same time or whatever, women are like, okay, I'm going to tell you all about my day. Just jump right into it. And yeah, really keeping that in mind. I love that. And I like the way you say it, just releasing the day. And then, you know, then the truth is you're going to get much more from him when you're able to allow him to do that.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole benefit.
Beautiful. I love that. All right. Before I go on to the next question, did you have any other? I know you said there's so many, and I'm sure we could go on and on for hours.
That's true.
Did you have any others that you wanted?
This is one for the guy's benefit, but it's one thing women can remember is that men are generally visually stimulated. So especially if you've been in a relationship for a while and you've gotten comfortable with each other, there's a tendency to get overly comfortable and relaxed. And frankly, for a man, it helps him as a woman. If you remember that you're a woman and to be sexy in your presence and your energy, it's not about necessarily dressing up in your sexy outfits all the time, but it's also not being a schlump. It's like take the time to be comfortable in yourself, but also remember that he doesn't generally thrive without stimulation. So it's nice to have that connection as well, where she can remember to be present to him. And this is not from the macho point. It's from the point of view that men really love a woman who inspires them. And that's something that I talk about in my work too, about how relationships really thrive when both partners are cheerleaders for each other. So for women and for men, this one works. Being your partner's cheerleader in their vision, their dream, their goals, so you can be the inspiration that makes their or inspires their heart to move forward, to go for their goals and their dreams, is wonderful because some relationships are not healthy that way. They ignore the fact that it's a team effort. So to work together and have that support from your partner is a huge part of a relationship that makes it much better and healthier.
Wonderful. That's a great reminder. You kind of put two things in there, but they flowed together so nicely because, you know, keeping it. Yeah, because when we do, we get comfortable in the relationship and we're like in our dirty sweats or, you know, whatever else. And
I didn't want to quite phrase it that way, but you got it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Hair on our legs and dirty sweats, right?
Right.
And just remembering that you know, there's a time and a place to just keep be present and bring our femininity in there. Not that we have to be doing
exactly.
all the way, but that inspires. And then that you rolled that into, which is both directions, but being each other's cheerleaders. And how important that can be in the relationship. Both directions.
Absolutely.
I love that. Wonderful. Okay. I always like to, and we're not ending yet because I'm going to make sure the listeners know how to get a hold of you, but one of my favorite ways of ending each of my interviews is to kind of ask one, like, really tightly pinpointed question that, and so in this way, what would you say, and I know there's so many different things, so I'm really asking a lot of you to narrow it down, but what would you say would be like a number one difference or number one important thing that a listener could walk away from and keep this in mind and start to either practice or adjust, you know, their thinking about it that could really make a difference in their relationship?
Well, there's so many. Again, so choose one. But one one comes to mind, actually, and this one actually is from Don Miguel Ruiz from Four Agreements, is don't take things personally. This is one of the biggest challenges we have in relationship because we get involved and invested. But one of the things I'm aware of, and it's true of my clients, myself, and some people I've worked with and been with over the years, is that we bring into our relationship all our history with us. So sometimes things will trigger our partner And we think it's our fault or we're responsible or something's wrong. But what may be happening, because if we're in a loving space, what happens is things from history come up for healing. And what happens is the past relationship issues or childhood issues can start showing up, especially if the love is really intense and connected and deep, where your own history comes up for resolution, because love is a healing agent. So one of the things I'm aware of is that sometimes it happens where things come up and your partner may be in that place and you'll be feeling like, what did I do wrong or what do I need to fix it? Don't take it personally. Be the loving space through this process to help them heal, because the love will get stronger, because there'll be less walls around the heart now. And also you'll actually get more benefit, because you'll be able to stand strong in your truth with your partner once they heal, and it gives them a direction to work toward.
Mm. That is such a beautiful, I just even get a, I don't know, there's a visual of what that would look like and how beautiful that could really be, and how that could make such difference.
Let's just say I paid the price of that in the past myself.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that. And there's many times that we forget that and we don't do that. That's what you mean, right? But when you can remember that, it just can make such a difference.
Absolutely.
So it's a very simple thing. Don't take things personally, but it's so much more when you can actually do that and stand in your truth and hold through any difficult process or reactions or whatever.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. All right. Wonderful. I want to make sure, Barry, that the listeners know how to find you, and I know that you have a gift for them. So would you, and I'm going to remind the listeners that right here on this page, as you're listening to this, is a bonus button. So it will take, you can click on that when you're done with this, and it will take you to get the free gift. Barry, would you talk about the free gift and how they can get a hold of that, and then also share what is the website so they can just connect to you and learn more about you as well.
Absolutely. The gift, as you mentioned in my intro, I am a number one best-selling author, and my book is called 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, which is a book for men and women, couples and singles, and it contains 50 principles, some of which we talked about here, the 50 principles for a healthy relationship. And it's on Amazon, it's Kindle, and it's a physical book. And what I'm offering to anybody who chooses it, I'm offering them the e-book version of that book. It is a full book, and the only drawback is you can't make notes in it because it's a digital copy, not the physical copy. But they can get that for free on my website if they come, and I can give them a link from here.
Okay. If you haven't, you can give it, and they'll also
absolutely
be able to click the button.
So I should just say that I am considering, and in the process of looking at rebranding my full domain. So the easy way to find me, and I'm using that as a default, is my name. So if you go to Barry Selby, which is /50 ways, and then HRS, which is this summit, they'll get the link to get to the book, and they can download it from it there, or ask for your email address. So that's the way they can get it. And my website itself is where I find tons of information about me, with other interviews and videos and programs, courses, et cetera, all there too.
Wonderful. So they can find it at barryselby.com/50ways HRS. Also, just use the bonus button. We will make sure that button will get you right where you need to go. And then they can find you, Barry, and learn more about you and what you have to offer and other interviews that you've done at barryselby.com, right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Barry, I just want to thank you. I know that I could tell you have so much more information in that head of yours and through all of the experience. I just really want to thank you for what you shared with us today. And again, you can get his 50 Ways to Love Your Lover ebook version by going to the bonus button. And also, you can learn more about Barry at barryselby.com. So thank you so much, Barry, for joining us and for sharing all of your pieces of wisdom. And
my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, wonderful. So thank you very much. Take care.
You too.